Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night, and it's time for Words of Wisdom. I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. Words of Wisdom is a way that we come together and we explore the Word of God together, plain and simple. It is always an honor and a privilege to be able to come before you on Wednesday night that God allowed us to meet here and you take time out of your busy schedule to come so we could study the Word of God together. I just want to thank God for allowing this program to go for several years. World. God is an awesome God, and he's definitely worthy to be praised. As we get in our lesson tonight, the title of the lesson is Jesus is our bridge over troubled waters. Jesus is our bridge over troubled waters. We are coming from the book of Ephesians, and I ask that you guys read the whole entire second chapter, but we're going to expound on the first through the tenth verse. As always, we're going to play a song, and when we come back, we're going to go to God's throne of grace, because he said, in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto him. And we're going to go and invite God in and let him know that this study will be nothing without the Holy Ghost, and that the Holy Ghost be right in the middle of it, and he take what we are saying and he give us illumination and revelation. So as always, I'm going to play a song, and we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer. Be prayerful for our Bible study on tonight. And I pray that you receive whatever you're looking for. We take this time so we could do as the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service, which is what each and every one of us should want to grow. Be better than we was. Be more knowledgeable about God. And then we could show more and do more. So the song that I'm going to play is Bridge Over Troubled Water by Aretha Franklin. So listen to the song, listen to the words of the music, and be blessed.
Thank you.
and that's bridge over troubled water. You know, we have to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to lead us,
that's bridge over troubled water.
You know, we have to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to lead us,
that's bridge.
Some kind of way the studio is doing something. Maybe it has stopped. Help us, Holy Ghost. But it's time to go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to lead us in prayer, please press the one button on your phone and we'll go to the throne of grace. If anyone would like to pray on tonight, press the one button on your phone. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, give of every perfect gift. Heavenly Father, we want to take time right now just to say thank you. Thank you for being such a good God, a merciful, a kind, and faithful God. Thank you for leading and guiding us into the things that are true, dear God. Thank you for your Son, and thank you for your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we realize that we can't make it without you, and there's no other name besides the name of Jesus where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are the true Messiah and Savior. God, I thank you for your word, because your word has become our strength. Your word is our high tower. Your word is our protection. Your word gives us strength. Your words carry us over the bridge when the waters are troubled. And for that I say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for allowing your people to call in on Wednesday. And thank you for everyone that listened to it on the internet. Lord, bless them in a blessing that they're in need of, and help them to be strengthened by your word, dear God. God, we're going to be careful to always give you the praise, should any man boast. And Lord, I'm asking all of these things in your darling Son, Jesus' name, for all of our sakes. And I just want to say amen and thank God. Well, that's our prayer for tonight, and I pray that you continue to be prayerful for our Bible study. Now it's time, and I have to say the title again because more people has called in, but the title of the lesson is Jesus is our bridge over troubled water. We are coming from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 10. And I'm going to do a background as I always do. It'll be a little different tonight, but I pray that it has the same results of giving information that you could build upon. You see, in our Christian life, we will go through different seasons. There are seasons where we are experiencing the good times, blessings, one after another. But there are also seasons where it feels as if we're going through difficulties, one after another. You see, this week we was flooded with information concerning the death of Aretha Franklin. And so much attention was given to her. So I began to listen to her music. And I went a little bit further, and I went on the internet and I watched interviews that she was doing about her life and things that she would say and how she would say it. I watched many interviews that she was having with different people interviewing her. Each one of them at some point always asked about her difficult times. And believe me, if you take and you research, you will see that there were many. If you never knew what was happening or followed her life closely, you would never know all the trials and tribulations she endured. she often said that it was only by the grace of God that she made it. You know, they would always ask, well, what about this, you know, because, you know, the interviews and, you know, not good and like to, you know, interview people that way to get information for the people who's going to see it, and they always try to pull it out. But in the interviews, she always had a way to smile. She would say it's by God's grace, and she kept it moving. You see, Aretha knew that her musical gift was from God because she said it. She allowed him to guide her, and she followed, and she realized that the provisions were always there waiting for her, no matter how the situation looked, how things was going on, how she was feeling about something. She held on to the confession of her faith, and she kept it moving. You see, the thing that I noticed the most about her was she was always humble, never taking credit, always remembering where she came from, and always giving God the praise, the honor, and the glory. Aretha said she never left the church, because when she started doing circular music, some people had a problem with it. She just smiled and said, you know, I never left the church. Because she said she knew that she was the church. And everywhere and everything she do, she brings the church along with her. Hallelujah. Yes, Aretha Franklin knew who she was in Christ Jesus. In 1967, she was crowned Queen of Soul. In over 50 years, she still remained our Queen of Soul. Look at the life, y'all. You know, we read the Bible and we get examples about people's lives, and God is telling us, you know, if we do it like the person, the things that are good, you know, we can receive the good, and the things that a person does that's not good, don't do it, and you won't have to experience the hardship. Learn from the lives of others. You see, the amazing thing, even in debt, and it will be forever, all the way through eternity, Aretha Franklin will be known as the Queen of Soul. You see, when she died, I was sad and happy at the same time. I was sad because she would no longer be with us, but happy that she had entered her eternal rest. You see, the life that I saw in Aretha Franklin, she lived a life that had evidence of good works, which can only be produced by faith in God. That was our lesson last week. You see, her faith in God, which granted her grace. And I know that God will be able to say, servant, well done. Aretha Franklin did a lot for people. She was always so humble and just a, you know, a round the way girl. They used to, they had interviews where the people who wasn't used to going to different grocery stores, and they would go to the store and greet them, and they would go to the cashier and say, you know who's in the store? They say, Aretha. She said, Aretha Franklin. You know, they say, she's always in here. She did a lot of things for Detroit, and she did a lot of things with Martin Luther King. They say whenever Martin Luther King needed money, all he had to do was call Aretha. You know, good works. While listening to her music, one stood out in my spirit. It was Bridge Over Troubled Water. That's how I decided to play the song, and that's why I decided to use Ephesians 2:1-10. And I'm going to just read a little few of the lyrics for the song tonight. And we're going to go ahead into our lesson. Well, no, I'll put it towards the end. Yeah, okay. The lyrics that's not sung in a song, because I did the research on it, it says, when you are weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. It goes on to say, I am on your side when times get tough and friends just can't be found. Like a bridge over troubled water. It goes on to say, listen to this, I will lay me down. And when I heard that, to me, it was like an analogy or a metaphor of what Jesus is for us. You see, a bridge is a connection between two points. A bridge helps us to cross over what we may not think we have the ability to do it. If the bridge wasn't there, it would be almost impossible for us to get to the other side in most cases. Here we would look at Jesus as the bridge. A bridge provides passage over a body of water, a highway, or a mountain. You see, from the human condition of existence, our perspective is there's always trouble. And we could take and classify each of these troubles as troubled waters. One may be fearful, agitated, anxious, bothered, vexed, or harassed. As I reflect on human life, with its constant difficulties and numerous problems, a few situations come to mind which may be classified as troubled water. Okay. When you go to the doctor and a diagnosis is not favorable, when your heart is broken in a million pieces, when you have lost your job and have no means of supporting your family, your money is funny, and as they say in the neighborhood, your change is strange. Or either you could have the death of a loved one. You know, and some people look at those as troubled waters. But in spite of it all, there's good news. You see, when you use the phrase, Jesus is a bridge over troubled water, we are saying that he is the means of transition, which allows us to cross over. That's why he says, deal with me, because trouble won't last always. The song said, I'll dry your eyes. Come on, y'all. We are saying that he is the means. In time of need, Jesus is the solid foundation upon which we stand. He becomes our bridge who enable us to go from where we are to where we should be. It's never what comes into our lives. It's all about who we cross over with. All of us done had hard times. And some of us thought that that was the worst thing that could ever happen to us in our lives. But just keep on living. You see, God is aware that there's a gap between his perfection and our sinfulness. Even as Christians, there is a constant tension within us to try to close that gap so that we could feel more comfortable, so that we can feel closer to God. And this is how some of us do it. Some try to close the gap by trying to lower God's standards and say things like, God doesn't mean that. Oh, you don't have to do that, and you don't have to do that. God don't care about that. God is not concerned about that. So you're going to change all the rules to fit your agenda. You're going to change the rules to make them fit for you, that you could be more comfortable. You see, and others will try to close that gap by trying to raise their performance. I'll try hard, harder. I'll read more. I'll study more. I'll go to church more. I'll meditate more. But I come to tell you tonight that if he thought that you could close the gap without him, he wouldn't have to come to earth and die for you. But he did. So that means he was the only way. You know, the gap that I'm talking about, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin separated us from the presence of God. Man, God used to go to the prophets to deal with man, and man had to go to the priests to hear from God. But you see, when Jesus died on Calvary, there was in the temple, they had three stages in the temple. The first stage was where the people would congregate. The second stage was for the Levitical priests. But the third phase was the holiest of holies, and only the high priest could go in there go in there for the sins of the nation and the sins of the people. People didn't have direct access to God. But when Jesus died, that curtain that was separating the holies of holies from the other parts of the temple that couldn't be accessed by anybody but the high priest, Jesus died. Scriptures tell us all over that Jesus is now our high priest. And when Jesus died, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom physically, y'all. It's not a guessing game. It's in the Word of God. And then we had access to God for our sins. Jesus closed the gap. He became a bridge that allowed us to be able to go to God. Hallelujah. And what does the Bible say about this gap? God, the Bible, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is letting us know it's there, and it will always be there. But you who put your faith in Jesus, receive him into your life, has been forgiven, declared righteous, precious in his eyes, held in his hand of care, and he becomes your bridge over troubled water. You have access. You are completely in him, and he loves you unconditional. He don't love you because. He loves you in spite of. And I come to tell you tonight, there's nothing that you could do to make God love you more than he already loved you. But being faithful and being obedient should be our response to what he has done, is doing, and promised to do. So let's a serious look at what God says about your relationship with him. Let's look at the ground rules. What he says about relating to him. You see, you became a Christian by simply responding to God in faith. That is the same way he wants you to live as a Christian, by simply responding to God in faith. You see, the weight of responsibility and the ability for us to do it stays with God. Now, y'all, somebody need to be shouting. The weight of responsibility and the ability to accomplish it is in God's hand as he works in and through us. Because that's stays with God. You may be thinking that seems simple enough. What's the big deal? The problem is that almost every Christian get tripped up on this at one time or another. And usually it happens when you take your eyes off of Christ and placing yourself in control. You see, if you read the scripture, you'll see just like Peter, when Peter begged for God to allow him to come to him on the water, Peter began to walk on the water. But the wind came up, and Peter, you know, got fearful. You know, fears will make you have a setback, y'all. I'm letting you know that. But God is not a God of fear. But when the winds and the waves start coming, Peter got excited, and he took his eyes off of Christ. And that's when he began to sink. So I could tell you, keep your eyes on Christ. He will see you through. He is the one that is working it out for your good. He's the one that's not allowing the weapons that are formed against you to prosper. He is the one in total control. Now we're going to go into the scriptures. We in Ephesians, the second chapter. I pray that all y'all have y'all Bibles. We're going to read the first verse all the way through the... We're going to start at the first verse, and we're going to read down to the third verse. And the word of God reads as follows. And you has he quickened. You, talking to you, he quickened. Who was dead in trespassing and sins. We all know we were, y'all. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Before we, you know, were saved, we did our living according to the word. And then it goes on to say, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among who also we all had our conversations in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Even as others. So what is this saying? They're saying we were dead in trespasses and sin, you know, before we received Christ. But Jesus quickened us by his death, burial, and resurrection, bridging the gap by becoming our bridge over troubled water and allowing us to cross over from death, because y'all know we was dead, to life. And, you know, quicken is in this in these scriptures. So I took a little time and look up quicken so you could see when they say we were, but Jesus quickened us. You see, quickening used here is a verb meaning to make alive, to retrieve, or to resuscitate from the dead. So when the Bible says you were quickened by him, you were made alive. You was retrieved, and you was resuscitated from the dead. Also, quickening denotes giving life or energy to something or someone. Before Christ came in our lives, we were the walking dead. There was nothing that we could do in and of ourselves to bridge the gap. Absolutely nothing. We needed a Savior. In Christ, we became new creatures. Old things passed away, and all things became time. Power of the air, which is Satan. You know, whenever I say that Satan is in control of this world, you know, people have a problem with that. Now, you know, I'm going to touch on it a little bit more, but this is what the Bible's saying. They say the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan. Every one of us know a nice person, a loving person, that never accepted Christ. Think about it. Y'all know people that's really nice. It could be the neighbor that every time you see him, he's doing something. Every time a neighbor have a need, he's the first one on the scene. But, you know, he never talks about Christ. He don't go to church. He never, you know, seem to be interested in God, but he's a nice guy. You know, they help the poor, visit the sick, treat their neighbors as they would like to be treated. But I come to tell you tonight, no matter what they did, they might not be the worst person in the world. And they even did good works. But I come to tell you, they would not go to hell for what they did. You never accepted Christ as your Savior. You are dead and maybe thinking that there is another way to enter eternal life, or maybe you believe you could save yourself. Jesus is the only way. You see, in this text, the Apostle Paul describes Satan first as a prince with power because he has authentic power in the world. You could read 1 John 5:19, and you could back up what I'm saying. You see, this power has been given to him by God in Luke 4:6, because Luke 4:6 says, this is when Satan tempted Jesus Christ in the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days and nights. And he said, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. That's Satan. That's why he offered Jesus. But he offered him the authority of this world system. So we got to understand that. The reason Satan is called the prince rather than a king, because there's only one king, Jesus Christ. Although Satan has power and authority in the current, listen to me, y'all, in the current world system in which we exist, that's why we say we in the world but not of the world, because everything of the world, Satan is in control. So let's get it right. But we know God has the final authority over everything. But I want you to know, the sovereignty opposed the work of God unless God permit it. You see, in Job, Satan went to God and said he didn't have nobody, and God told him to try Job. And God gave him an authority to do whatever he wanted with Job other than take his life. Come on, y'all. And, you know, every time Satan got ready to do something, he had to go to God for permission. But he had the power to take his children and cover his body with burrows, and all his cattle was gone, and God allowed it. But he allowed it for his glory because he knew what Job was working with. And then Job finally understood that it was only a test. You see, God has not revealed all the whys and when according to Satan's rule, but he made it clear that there is only one way to escape the power of Satan's domain, and that is through Jesus Christ, his son. Look at that, y'all. You see, and they got a scripture in Galatians 1:13-14, which says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, talking about Satan, and transferred us into the kingdom. What kingdom? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. You see, that was Jesus, you know, talking, and he was, you know, well, that wasn't Jesus talking. That was Paul giving that thing. But Jesus came back, and he was speaking in John, the 12th chapter, 31 and 32. Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." It is as if he's saying, I will become the bridge over the troubled water, and I will bridge the gap between God and man. You see, this was Jesus talking about the cross, his intending thing on the cross. And he was saying if he would be lifted up, you know, they took the cross and they lifted it up. He said, but if I be lifted up from the earth, death, burial, and resurrection, I will draw all men unto me. If you look at the other verses, verse 4 through 8 through 9, and it said, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. You know, if God loved you while you were sinning, how much more you think he loves you now? But even when you was dead in your sin, Jesus came died for you. He came so he could take you in. Even when you were dead in sin, has quickened, that's that quickened, made alive, revived. He had quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together and made us to make us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ. He's saying in the ages to come, you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen all that God has prepared for his people. But he say, in ages to come, he's going to show that he may show. He's talking about a mystery, y'all. He might show the excellent riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And verse 8 say, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And verse 9 said, not of works. Y'all remember last week when we did James and versus Paul? James said work, Paul said faith, but we realized, and I hope you did, that they go together. He was saying if you have true faith, once you receive Christ, you would do the work, and it would be the evidence of who you are in Christ Jesus. So this scripture say, not of work, lest any man should boast. This is letting us know that grace saved us by faith. There is nothing that we could do to earn it. God created us for his glory, and that's the way he planned it. We receive grace once we accept Christ as our Savior, and Christ has the power to save us by the authority given to him, Father. And there's somewhere in the Bible, this just came to my mind, that Jesus said, God, Father, every one of them that you gave me, I'm giving back except Judas. Hallelujah. God say, I got him in my hand and I'm protecting him. You're in the hands of Jesus. You see, it's a free gift. You couldn't buy it. You could never be good enough to achieve it. And you can never do enough work to receive it. It's all by grace, all things through Christ Jesus. God has never done anything that man can take credit for. And there is nothing that you could do would afford you the privilege for boasting. It's very dangerous to try to take God's glory. First of all, if you're really true to yourself, you couldn't save yourself. You can't wake yourself up in the morning. If you're educated, you know, it was by grace. If you got your health and strength, it's by grace. And even if you're sick unto death, it's going to be grace that takes you through eternity. What do you have to do? We are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. Listen to what it says. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. So if anybody's not working, you know you're not doing what thus say the Lord. You know, this not me just saying what I think you ought to do. I'm reading the scripture. You see, we are God's workmanship. We're his handiwork. It's like we're his painting, a great masterpiece. We have been created in Christ through his death, resurrection, and given the Holy Ghost. We have been given a task. We have been saved and called to do good work. Grace, we should want to do the work because of grace. Salvation comes first, then work should proceed. So many people got the misconception that they got the, you know, you ask them to come to church, they say, I got to get right first, that's work. You ask them, they say, I don't have nothing to wear, that's work. You see, but you come to Jesus, and Jesus will help you get in order for what he wants, because in the scripture he said, it is I that working in you to will and to do my good pleasures. You know, God, when we accept Christ, come in the inside and work us all through the outside, y'all. Let's get it right. You see, first came salvation, and then work should proceed. Some is trying to do it backwards. They're trying to work to get the salvation. They can't get it. You can't get it that way. You see, once we are saved through faith and given our work, which has been prepared for us before the foundation of the world. That was in the scripture tonight, y'all. It talks about the work that God had prepared for us. You see, what it's saying that God planned the work for us. We need to do them with confidence, and then God's going to bless it. You got to remember, wherever God guides, he provides. You know, so many people stick their chest out and they know this verse and, you know, it's so true to them and it's so good to them. And they always quote it, whatever God has for me, it's for me. Or whatever God has for you, it's for you. That is so true. But I come to tell you tonight, it's also whatever work that God has for you to do is for you. Now, that should be an eye-opening. There's specific works for you. There's specific purposes. That's why they're different gifts. Everybody has to do their part. And you see, when I talked about Satan being the prince of the power of the air and a ruler of this world to some degree with God having final say-so, we're not in this world, but he said he prepared us through his death for his kingdom. So we're living in God's kingdom here on earth. And you see, in the Old Testament, God did miracles, and Jesus came and he did miracles, and when Jesus left, he left the Holy Ghost, and when we accepted the Holy Ghost, he came and lived inside of us and sealed us till the day of redemption. And he said, it's almost like they said, now you got something working in the inside of you. You know, I don't have to send quails from the sky, because if your neighbor needs something to eat, go to Winn-Dixie. So he's trying to teach us how to be the miracles for each other in the kingdom while we on earth. You see, you got to understand and sometimes ask and wonder why God, once we got saved, didn't just take us to heaven and let us bow down all the time like the angels is doing. But God wanted to see his creation work. He wanted to see his people work. You know, when somebody creates something and they take and they do the first run with it and they want to see how it operates. You see, God created everything from nothing. You see, man can only invent, because a man will take the things that God has created, put two or three of them together, and make something else. But we are God's creation, and God wanted to see what we will be working with. And he just didn't stick us out here to fail. And he didn't ask us to do it all on our own, because he's constantly working everything out for our good. You see, you know, some of the work is we should love our neighbors, help people in our community who are in need, love everyone, and share encouragement daily to the brothers and sisters. This is the true heart, soul, and life of a Christian. Understand that good works is not something we do just in certain areas of our lives. We have to be sold out. Good works is something we do in every of our life, so we should be. Don't just go to church on Sunday and be holy and then Monday be in hell. We should practice it at work, at school, you know, in our home, in our neighborhood, with our families, in our marriage, with our children. Because this is how we truly let our light so shine that men can see the good works. This is the good works that God is talking about. Because he said, let your light so shine that men may see the good works and glorify. The good works that God can get the glory. You see, I believe that Galatians 6, 9, and 10 sum it up. It says, let us not be weary in doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, the scripture told us God presents the opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are in the household of faith. You have to remember, even the opportunity to help someone, even the opportunity to share the word of God, even the opportunity to say something good to somebody, do something good to somebody, talk about God to somebody, it is coming from God. You see, God is constantly providing us with the opportunity to do good. Many times Christians let the opportunity pass them by. And when that happens, you could lose your blessing. You know, when we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, and we talked about Jesus coming back with his rewards, you know, you will be rewarded at that time. And then when Jesus bring up some of the things that you didn't do, it's just to show that you could have lost blessings in those areas. Everything that God expects us to do, he creates the opportunity for us to be able to do it. Don't pass up the opportunities. And don't lose your blessings. And I'm going to close tonight the song that was played. Some of you may be really familiar with it, and others may not be. But it's amazing, you know, when Aretha was singing, she said, "If you only believe," she said that like four times. And talked about laying down a life for you. That's Jesus. So the song, the part that she sung, she said, when you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part. Don't that sound like Jesus, y'all? I'll take your part when darkness comes and pain is all around. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. Jesus is saying, I will lay down and be the bridge. And then the song went on to say, sail on, silver girl, sail on by. Your time has come to shine. All your dreams are on their way. See how they shine. Oh, if you ever need a friend, I'm sailing right behind. Like a bridge over troubled water, I will ease your mind. I will lay me down. And that's our lesson tonight. Bridge over troubled water. I heard the song and all I could think about is Jesus, my Lord and Savior, and how those words were so appropriate to him. If anybody have any comments or any requests or would like to pray, I'll give some input on a lesson. Anybody with a praise report want to talk about something that God has done for them? Hallelujah. Anyone would like to give words of encouragement? Oh, before we go off, and I don't want people to hang up, we won't have lesson on next Wednesday. But if you guys would like, I could do the lesson on Thursday because I'm going to be out of town, and where I'm going, I wouldn't be able to have internet access where I could get into the studio. But before we close out, after the, well, really before the prayer, I'm going to ask everybody who was on Thursday, Wednesday, that you could press the one button, and we'll make a decision at that time. But if everybody want to have a week off, then we'll meet back the next Wednesday. But that's our lesson tonight. And God is now opening up the opportunity for anyone to share anything at this time. So, okay, since no one has anything to say, okay, I have a caller. Caller 504-621. Your mic is open.
Yes. I have a testimony that I'd like to share.
Please.
My manager at work had told me that another manager's son had taken really sick, and his kidney had failed and his liver had failed, and he was on the breathing machine. The manager whose son was ill called and asked for prayer. So we really prayed individually, those who she told. And so she came back with a report that the young man was getting worse. He was unconscious. They tried to do the dialysis on him, and it failed. It wouldn't even work. And it was just bad news all the way around. Well, today she came and told me that they have taken him off the breathing machine. He still has to have dialysis and even has to have a kidney a liver replacement. But the young man is talking. They're talking about sending him home and considering also putting him in rehab. But they took him off the breathing machine, and his body is accepting dialysis now. And all I could see was God moving in a mighty way. He's answering prayers, and he's healing the young man's body. Although he may still need the dialysis in the liver, I still saw God moving because he came, I would say, out of the coma. His body reversed and accepting the dialysis and doing well with it. And he's talking. And so that's my testimony that God really is on the move. The manager who may not quite be where we are in the Lord, but she made the statement to the other manager that this has increased her faith.
Hallelujah.
And it just brought tears to my eyes to hear that she said this has increased her faith. She believed that prayer do works. And so that's my testimony for tonight.
And I sure appreciate you sharing that with us. And
yeah.
When we take time to say things that God has done in our life, that's encouragement for other people to be encouraged that if he did it for them, he could do it for you too. We have to share the goodness of God with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That's what show the evidence to the world that he is real. And I thank you, my sister, for sharing that. And I don't want anybody to think they can't say nothing because it's now the 9:30 hour. We have a lot of time in the studio. I just always try to stop it at 9 because sometimes people say, since the people was talking, it was 9 o'clock, I didn't think we have time. So that is not the case, and I'm letting you know now we can't. Still talk. My sister, for those words, that it blessed someone else to know that prayer really worked and God is in the blessing business. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're very welcome.
Anyone else have anything to say at this time? If not, right before I pray, or if anyone want to pray, press your one button. At this time, I'm asking a question. Would y'all want to have Bible study on Thursday night next week? Or we'll just have it? Well, do you want to have Bible study on Thursday night? You could press the one button on your phone, and we know we'll do it. If not, we'll do it the next Wednesday. All righty. That's settled. We will... Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3. Well, we had more that didn't press. So we won't have Bible study Thursday, but we will have it on next Wednesday. Let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 and 7. Yeah. So we won't have it Wednesday, but we won't have it Wednesday nor Thursday, but the next Wednesday. We'll be back in the studio, and I will send you out a notice, as I always do. But until we meet again, I just want to tell you that, remember, God is in the blessing business. So it's time for us to depart, and I'm asking that you guys pray for me with traveling grace, me and my sisters and my aunt is going on a trip together. We will leave Monday and we will come back next Thursday. So y'all keep us lifted up in prayer. And as I'm away, I will be praying for you guys as you pray for me. It's always a privilege and an honor. And I want y'all to know that I love you guys so much. For giving me, allowing me the opportunity to come before you with the word of God. You know, pray for Aretha Franklin family, y'all. She has 4 boys. And, you know, I didn't go into a lot of things, and you can research it for yourself. And when I say it, she had many trials, but you couldn't tell it if you just didn't know it. Because Aretha always showed up. She did what she had to do. She was always so humble. If you look at her interviews, she wasn't puffed up. Because she said she knew her gift was from God. She couldn't create her voice. you know. So that's our lesson for tonight. And I'm going to just close with a benediction, because y'all know my favorite scripture is Peter, 2 Peter 3:18. So as we leave tonight, I'm asking that you take time and do whatever you can to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is our reasonable service. Everybody be blessed. I'm already letting you know in advance, I will miss you guys on next Wednesday, but if God allow it, we'll come back together the Wednesday after that. So as I close, remember God loves you, and he created us for good works. And everybody, excuse, should do their part. So with that being said, God bless you and keep you. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back again. And our next broadcast wouldn't be the 29th, but it should be September the 5th, would be the next Wednesday. So we'll be back on September the 5th if God says the same. Love you. God be with you until we meet again. God blessings be ever upon you. And may the grace of God and the sweet community of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in all of us. Amen. And thank God. And that's it for tonight. Good night.